do have a word from God this morning that I believe that He wants us to hear and that He wants us to receive. So however you access the Word of God this morning, by way of your tablet, your Bible, your phone, however you do it, turn to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, and I want to read a few verses from that 24th chapter this morning, beginning with the 32nd verse. So Matthew chapter 24, beginning with verse number 32. We're going to be reading in the red this morning the words of Jesus. And Jesus is speaking to His disciples, and He says unto them in that 32nd verse, He said, "Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all of these things, know that the end," or "know that it is near." He's talking about the end time. "Know that the end," or "know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you that this generation shall not pass till all of these things be fulfilled." And then He reassures them and says, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and that hour," He says, "knoweth no man," no, not the angels of heaven, "but my Father only." And then He says in verse 37, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and they knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also it be in the day of the coming of the Son of Man." I'm going to stop right there this morning. Ask if you will bow your heads and let's pray together. Heavenly Father, it is a joy. It is a joy to be able to be in the house of God with your people, to worship and to give praise unto your name. It is a privilege this morning to be gathered here. Thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit that we have sensed and that we have felt in this service, in our worship. Ask you now, Heavenly Father, to bless me to be a blessing to your people with your word. Inspire my thoughts. Put your word in my mouth. Enable me. Help me to be competent. Help me to be effective in the work of the ministry this morning. Put your spirit upon me and put your word in my mouth and let me speak it boldly. Let me speak it clearly and let me speak it, I pray, this morning with truth under the anointing of your Holy Spirit. Let everything that's said and everything that's done be done to glorify Jesus and to edify the body of Christ here this morning. And we will forever give you the praise and we will forever give you the thanks. And we ask it this morning in Jesus' name. And everyone in agreement said, amen. So I'm going to title my message this morning, "When History Repeats Itself." When history repeats itself. Look at somebody sitting next to you this morning and tell them, "As it was, so shall it be." Andy ain't got nobody sitting near him. Let Andy turn around and say it. "As it was, so shall it be." How many have ever heard this morning the old saying that oftentimes history repeats itself? How many of you know that's true? Amen. That's very true. Jesus says here that there is coming a day and there is coming an hour when things shall be that have already been. He's telling his disciples that there is coming a moment in time that will signify the end of this age and the coming of the Son of Man. And he said, you'll be able to identify it by knowing what has already been is going to be again. What has been shall be. He says, as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Amen. The God's Word translation says, when the Son of Man comes again, it will be exactly like it was in the days of Noah. That's pretty plain. Can you say amen? Jesus was saying that the end is going to come with suddenness, that the end is going to come in an unexpected fashion. He says, amen, that in the day of Noah, they were swept away. In a hurry, they were swept away unexpectedly. He said the suddenness is going to come upon them quickly. How many of you know the Bible said that there's coming a day when people will cry, peace, peace, amen, and there will be no peace. We're living in that day. People desire peace, but there is no peace except that comes from God. Jesus is saying here in this verse, amen, when the Son of Man comes again, it will be exactly like it was in the days of Noah. He is saying that the characteristics and the culture of Noah's day will once again be prevalent and relevant in the day when I come again. Let me just make it clear to you this morning that Jesus says that no man knows the day. No man knows the hour. I'm not here this morning to try to predict the day or the hour that Jesus is coming back again. But he does tell us that we will be able to discern the seasons and the times. Pastor Gary, what do you mean the seasons or the times and the seasons? Think in terms this morning of a young woman that has conceived with a child. She has conceived in her body a child. Ask that woman, what day, what hour will you give birth? And she will tell you of a truth. I have no idea, but I know it's coming. I know it's coming. I know it will arrive. She would know no day or no hour, but she would be able to tell you that when the time comes, that there will be certain changes in her body that will indicate that it is getting closer and closer and closer to delivery time. You understand what I'm saying? Cramps or contractions, and the water breaks. Different things signal it's coming, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. I'm telling you this morning, we are nearing the end of this age. It's coming. Think in terms of spring and summer. I know the calendar has a specific date on the calendar that says first day of spring, and it's 25 degrees outside. Right? Or the first day of summer and it's already been 103 for a week. But you can discern the changing of the seasons, can you not? If you watch the shrubs and you watch the weather and you watch the indications and you see things slightly changing day by day by day, you know that it's coming. I look out my window in the back and I've got a beautiful a locust tree there in the back. And just now it's beginning to sprout out its leaves. It's coming. The weatherman said it may be 80 by this weekend. I don't know, that may be a little too soon for it coming. But it's coming. You understand what I'm talking about this morning. Jesus said you may not be able to tell the day or the hour, but you will be able to discern the time. You will be able to discern the season. You will feel it in your spirit. You will see it with your spiritual eye. You will see that something is changing on the calendar of God. Hey, I'm here to tell you this morning, something is changing in our world. Oh. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, verse number 32, he says, now learn a parable of the fig tree. He said, when the branch is yet tender and it starts to put forth its leaves, you know that summer is nigh. He says, you know that summer is coming. And then he says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. They said, when will these things be? He said, I can't tell you the day. I can't tell you the hour. The angels don't know. I don't know. Only my Father which is in heaven. But what I can tell you is keep your eyes open and watch, because you'll be able to see it coming about. Amen. If you're not asleep and you're not slumbering and you're not so caught up in the things of the world, you'll be able to look around and say, hey, something is about to happen. I'm here to tell you this morning that something is about to happen. Oh, God, help me. I didn't know I'd go preach like this. I feel it down in my spirit this morning. Something is changing. Something is about to happen. The discourse of Matthew 24 is often referred to as the Olivet Discourse, or the Message of the Olivet. It was given on the Mount of Olives, and it was given privately to his disciples. Many times when Jesus ministered, and many times when he spoke, and often when he taught, there were great multitudes around him, thousands of people, not this. This was his inner circle. This was his disciples, and his message is given as a result of their question, beginning in the first verse and down through those first three verses. If you still have your Bible open this morning, I want you to look at that. I want to read it with you this morning. It's Matthew 24, verse 1 through 3. The Bible says, and Jesus went out. He's going out of the temple and going out of the city of Jerusalem. And he departed from the temple, and his disciples came unto him for to show him the buildings and the temple. They wanted him to see the magnificent structure that their forefathers had built. They wanted him to see the temple and all of its splendor and all of its glory. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be here one stone left upon another, amen, that shall not be thrown down. Not one stone will be left upon another. And then verse 3 tells us why Jesus speaks, Matthew chapter 24 and verse 25. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him, saying privately, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Now, I want you to notice this morning that three questions were asked. They ask him three questions. Number one, when shall these things be? What things? When will the temple be overthrown and not one stone left upon another? When will that happen? When will that transpire? You're telling us that this temple that our forefathers has built is going to be destroyed. When will that happen? If you are a student of biblical history, you will recall that in 70 AD, a Roman emperor by the name of Titus moved into the city of Jerusalem and literally leveled the city. Burnt the temple with fire. And Josephus, the first century historian, tells us, amen, that the fire was so hot in the temple that it melted the silver and the gold objects that were in the temple, and the gold and the silver ran down between the cracks of the rock and melted into the cracks. And Josephus also tells us that when it had cooled off, that the Roman soldiers literally one by one overturned the rocks to get to the gold and the silver. And Jesus' prophecy was completely fulfilled. Not one stone was left upon the other. He says, when shall these things be? And then their second question, and what shall be the sign of your coming? Which you will understand this morning that Jesus addresses here in this 24th chapter. What will be the sign of your coming? And then the third question, and what will happen when you come? Or what it will be the end of the, what would it be like at the end of this age? Again, also, it runs from chapter 24 through chapter 25. But this morning, it is the second question that I want to deal with more in-depthly. What will be the sign of your coming? What will it be like in our world, Jesus, when you come again? Amen. This morning, it is the second question that I want to deal with. And in order for Jesus to help his disciples understand what it would be like and what the sign of his coming would be, amen, he draws a fascinating comparison with the end time and the day of Noah. And he tells his disciples that the past is the key to the future. What has been shall be. History shall repeat itself. What has been shall come again. Look at that verse with me one more time, verse number 37. But as in the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as the days of Noah before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall it also be in the day of the coming of the Son of Man. Jesus is saying history will repeat itself. How many of you with that understanding in your mind think that it is relevant and important for us to understand what the days of Noah were like? If we will be able to discern the season and the time by knowing that as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be, then I think it's important for us to understand what the days of Noah were like. It'll help us to identify the day, the hour, the season when he comes. So what were the days of Noah like? What were the days of Noah like? Jesus says they were eating and drinking. Anything wrong with that? How many of you know if you don't eat, you won't live? I don't have a problem with eating. And you can last longer without food than you can without water. Any problem with drinking? Nope, I don't have a problem with that. As long as they're done in moderation, both gluttony and drunkenness are condemned in the scripture. Hello? Nothing wrong with the eating and drinking. Nothing wrong with taking nourishment for the body. They were marrying and giving in marriage. Anything wrong with that? I ain't got a problem with that. I married my woman 20 or 32 years ago. Right? And I'd do it again today. If it didn't cost me much. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Please. Just rolled off my tongue. Nothing wrong with marrying and giving in marriage, right? So what was it that was so drastically terrible in the day of Noah that it caused God to literally look down upon planet Earth and say, I'm going to destroy it all? Same thing that I see in our world today. Same thing that I see in our world today. What was it that was so prevalent in Noah's day that brought the judgment of God and caused him to wipe out every living thing on the face of the earth and start over with just Noah and his family? What was it? There are three things the Spirit of the Lord laid upon my heart. And I believe that if we understand how it was then we could understand that we see it perfectly clear in our culture and in our society today. The first thing that I want to point out is that the hearts of men had become evil. The hearts of men had become wicked. The hearts of men had become corrupt. If you look in Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 5 and verse number 6, this is what the Bible says. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only continually evil. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on earth. And it grieved him to his heart. What was it that grieved God? The wickedness of mankind. The evil heart of mankind. If you read Genesis chapter 3 through chapter 5, just those few short verses, only three chapters. If you read those three chapters, you will understand just how badly men had corrupted themselves. The Bible says in that third chapter that Cain brings a sacrifice before God, a bloodless sacrifice. Abel, his brother, brings a lamb and slays the lamb and offers the lamb a blood sacrifice for the atonement of sin. Cain brings a fruit of the field of his own hands, and he brings it, and God refuses his sacrifice. What is it, Pastor Gay? It's a picture of the fact that men have rejected the blood. Amen. Men want a gospel, or men want a salvation that's less bloody. Men want a gospel that's of their own hands. They refuse to see the sacrifice of Christ. You understand what I'm saying? Amen. Men have become corrupted in their heart. We see that in this world today. People do not desire a salvation that talks about the blood. But I'm going to tell you, the Bible said without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. It took the blood of Jesus Christ to wash away our sin. It took the blood, amen, of the sinless, spotless Son of God to make us clean. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. We see the first murder. Cain slays his brother Abel. The first murder takes place in that third chapter. Polygamy enters in chapter 4, and lust grips a hold of the heart of a man by the name of Lamech. And Lamech takes to him two wives. One wasn't enough. How many of you know he was going against everything that God had structured? Everything that the Bible says that, amen, that God made woman and then God, or God made man and then God made woman and said the two shall become one flesh. Amen. Polygamy enters in. I'll tell you right now, amen, God's still design is one woman and one man. Corruption in marriage. We see, amen, the marriage, the traditional marriage system corrupted. Amen. The Bible teaches in those chapters that the sons of God took unto them the daughters of men to wife and endeavored to corrupt the seed of the woman that God had promised would come. And that is a study all within itself. But let me just simply say that it was a blatant destruction or a blatant corruption of the marriage that God intended between man and woman. If you continue to read through those few chapters, you will find that they were the days of pride, the days of self-proclaimed enlightenment and progressiveness. You will find that it was a day of fine arts and music and literature. You would find that it was a day of sexual perversion and a day of rebellion against God. And it was a day of violence and brutality. All of those things had entered into men's hearts. All of those things, violent people. It was so violent. Look in Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 11 and verse number 12. And this is what the Bible says, that the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. The earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. Can I ask you a question this morning? Can you see these things that I'm talking about paralleled in the day and the hour and the time that we live in today? You say, oh, Pastor Gary, those things have been around for years. Yes, they have. There has been violence, and there has been corruption, and there has been wickedness. but not on the level that we see it in the day that we are living. We live in a society this morning as a whole that claims to be so enlightened and so profoundly wise and so wonderfully liberated, but we have rejected the truth of God's word, claiming the word of God to be outdated and archaic and out of step with modern times. Amen. While we murder babies that are still in the mother's womb and call it choice, while we murder babies in the mother's womb and call it a health decision. You hear what I'm talking about this morning? I read an article as I was studying for this message. Amen. I read an article that stated in America alone, we have slain 43 million babies in America since 1973 when Roe versus Wade went into effect. I'm telling you here this morning, we live in a corrupt society. Murder. Our land is filled with violence. In 2012, statistics report, in 2012, there were 14,827 murder victims in the United States. And after we have successfully kicked God out of our schoolrooms across America, mad men have entered in and began to shoot our children. And our liberal cultured society says we need to get rid of guns. Let me just tell you this morning, it's not a gun problem, it's a heart problem. Help me, Jesus. The Huffington Post reported that in 2013 alone, somewhere between 189,000 and 1.3 million were sexually assaulted or raped in the United States. They went on to say that there is a large discrepancy in the numbers because most sexual assaults go unreported. Most assaults go unreported. USA Today reports that one in every five mobile phone searches, listen to this, one in every five mobile phone searches is for pornography. Pornography is a $13 billion a year, amen, industry in the United States alone. Amen, sex sells. Amen, we live in a society that has forgotten how to blush and forgotten their morality, and we see it advertised on television. We hear the sexual innuendo on TV every night, little snide comments. Amen, we're inundated with suggestive images day in and day out, billboards, magazines, newspapers, in the TV, all over the place. Amen. It has become the drug of America. Oh, that's a little different, isn't it? Traditional marriage established by God, one man and woman, one woman. Amen. But let me just tell you, so far, 17 states have legalized same-sex marriage. 17 states have legalized same-sex marriage. And states like the state of Idaho, who amended their constitution to recognize marriage as just one man and one woman, face litigation in the courtrooms of America under the guise, amen, under the guise of equal rights. I know it's an old cliche, but you know, the Bible said that God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. God made Adam and Eve, and this is what he said. He said, be fruitful and multiply. Let me just tell you, Adam and Steve can only recruit because there is no way they will ever be able to multiply. Hello? Amen. Amen. We live in a society that has its morals warped. Amen. And let me just tell you, you know, if you hold to the traditional view of the word of God, like I just spoke, I believe one man and one woman, people call you homophobic. They call you all kinds of things, tell you that you're outdated and tell you that you, amen, you got speech hate and that you're being judgmental. I'm not being judgmental. I'm not a homophobe. I love a homosexual. I love a lesbian community. I don't have anything against them at all. I cannot agree with their sin, and neither does the word of God.
But just because, listen to me, just because I do not agree with them does not mean that I cannot love them, that I cannot be friendly with them, that I cannot love them and let them know Jesus loves them. You hear what I'm saying? Amen. Away with this nonsense that we have to agree about everything in order to love one another. Baloney. Amen. We can love one another even though we disagree with him. Hallelujah. Would one be welcome in your church? You bet. In a heartbeat. And I'd preach the truth to them. And I'd love them. And I'd love them and I'd let them know Jesus loves them. And I wouldn't try to change them. I'd let Jesus change them. No, it wasn't my responsibility to clean them up anyway. My responsibility to just love them and tell them the truth. And then it's their decision. Hello? That's where we need to come from. Amen. Jesus said, as it was, so shall it be. We can look around our world today and see that the minds and the hearts of men are corrupted and they are filled with evil and filled with wickedness. Amen. On an increasing level day by day as the time draws nearer and nearer and closer and closer. We're living in a day when people feel so enlightened and so progressive. Amen. And there is such pleasure and so many entertainments in the world. But I'm going to tell you what. Let me look around the world today. And you can see that not only is the world, but America is ripe for the judgment of God to fall upon us as well as the rest of this nation or the rest of this world. Many have snubbed their nose at God. Snub their nose at godly things. The Bible is outdated. It's archaic. It's out of step. It's old-fashioned. It's and on and on. But I'm going to tell you, the Word of God is the only thing that's going to stand the test of time. Amen. The only thing that's going to stand the test of time. Amen. The second thing that I want you to understand about the day of Noah was it was marked by unbelief. It was a day marked by unbelief. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5, the Bible calls Noah a preacher of righteousness. What does that mean, Pastor Gary? It means that the whole time that Noah was building the ark, he was preaching. Turn from your wicked way. Turn from your sin. Hear the word of the Lord. Call upon God while he is near. Reach out to the Lord for his salvation. He was a preacher of righteousness. He was a proclaimer of right standing with God. He was a preacher of righteousness. But you know what the Bible says? The Bible says that only 8 souls entered into the ark. Noah, his wife, his 3 sons, and their 3 wives. What does that tell you? It tells me that nobody listened to the preacher. Hello? Nobody paid heed. Nobody listened to the preacher. How many of you know that oftentimes throughout the Word of God, when you read the prophets, Isaiah and Ezra, Ezekiel and on, you read through the major prophets, oftentimes this is what God said. He said, arise and go and say, thus saith the Lord. And then he says, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. Meaning whether they will receive your message or whether they won't. It's your responsibility, preacher. It's your responsibility to go and say. Amen. That's my job. Go and say. Some receive, some don't. I'm not responsible for, amen, those that don't. I'm just responsible for delivering the message.
Noah preached for 120 years. The Lord is about to bring judgment on this land. You better wake up and you better turn to God and you better listen, because God is about to do something that he's never done before, and he's going to bring destruction upon the land. And nobody listened. Only 8 souls. And I'll just tell you right now this morning, we are living in a day and we are living in an hour when the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ is being preached and proclaimed. Amen. The message of faith and the message of grace and the message of God's mercy is going out all over the world, and Jesus is being preached and righteousness is being proclaimed. Amen. But just as it was in the days of Noah, there are those that mock the preacher and mock the believer. Amen. Saying that we just need a crutch and we're uneducated and we're simple minded. Hey, I'm going to tell you, it's one of these days the mocking is going to cease and the saints of God are going to be proven right and the judgment of God is going to fall on planet Earth. But those that have put their trust in the Lord shall be saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No doubt in Noah's day, there were those that come by and laughed, snickered. He's building a boat. It's gonna rain. How many of you know the Bible said that it had never rained on the face of the earth up to that time? The Bible said that there was a dew that came up from the ground every day that watered the earth. Everybody went, rain? What's that? Yeah, whatever, preacher, whatever. You better listen. You better look at that guy. He really believes this. He's working out there every day, building a boat. Look, he's collecting animals. Hey, Noah, really? You ever had anybody make fun of you for your faith? Tell you that you're old-fashioned and outdated and full of baloney. Mock you. Tell you don't have to do it this way and you don't have to do it that way. Hey, I'm just telling you, you don't have to do it my way. You have to do it God's way. Amen. Read God's word and he'll tell you how to do it. Undoubtedly, people laughed at Noah and mocked him. But I'm here to tell you, there are many that mock the Christian today and make fun and despise the Christian. I never believed in my lifetime that I would ever see the United States of America come to the place, amen, that we have come to, when Christians are literally reviled on open airwaves and people mock Christianity. Now, if you're Muslim, you're all right. Uh-oh, I better duck, right? You hear what I'm saying? Amen, amen. But we've come to a day and we've come to an hour, amen, when people of faith are mocked. But I'm going to tell you, one of these days God is going to shut the door and they're going to be on the outside while we are on the inside, safe in the ark of safety. They laughed and mocked Noah up until the day that Noah and his family entered the ark, and the Bible said that God shut the door and no man could open it. And when the rain began to fall, they were on the outside. Help! Hey, Noah! Let me in. Well, I'd like to, but I can't open the door. God shut it. You hear what I'm talking about this morning? As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. We are living in a day and an hour when religious people and people of faith are mocked and scoffed at and scorned for their faith. And let me tell you, we got it easy right now here in the United States, because there are Christian people all over the world that are giving and laying down their life right now, today, for their faith. Meeting in underground rooms so they can, amen, share their testimony and their faith with one another. We're blessed. We're blessed, but we see it changing. We see it changing. The third thing that I want to talk to you about this morning is the people were ignorant of the signs.
They were ignorant of the signs that were coming. How in the world could they have missed a gigantic boat in Noah's yard? This is not something that was built and kept in the third bay of the garage. Right? How could they miss it? This thing had to be big enough to carry two elephants, two rhinos, two hippos, on and on and on. It was a large vessel. I don't know how many square feet Noah and his three sons and wives all occupied, but I'm telling you, just for the animals alone, it was a large vessel. How could they miss the sign? Noah, out there building on the ark. Oh, yeah, I see it, but it ain't rained yet. It ain't rained yet. And they're looking at the sign that it's coming right in front of them, and they missed it completely. Listen to what Jesus says. Jesus says in this 24th chapter, and you can read it on your own time and in your own study, but Jesus says, take heed that no man deceive you. He said, ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. Sound like the evening news? Hello? Somebody said, oh, I don't watch the news. Pull your head out of the sand, ostrich. Check out some of it. You're missing some of the signs. You're missing some of the signs. You'll hear of wars and rumors of wars. Nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there'll be famines and pestilence and earthquakes. How many of you have been hearing about the earthquakes in different places? All over the world. A lot of them happening right here in the Intermountain West. And then he says, false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Amen. Have you seen individuals rise to prominence and they have twisted the word of God to such an extent that they are filled with error? They're false prophets. They're false prophets. And the last one I love. He said, and because iniquity shall abound, because sin shall abound, the love of many will wax cold. Even within the own church, within the own church world, many, their love for God and their passion for the things of God have waxed cold because we live in such a wicked atmosphere, a wicked culture, a wicked culture. And just like in the days of Noah, our society is business as usual. We're eating, we're drinking, we're giving in marriage, we're making business deals, children go to school, teachers teach, doctors doctor, farmers farm, life just goes on. And the other thing about Noah's day was life just went on eating and drinking and giving in marriage. But the other thing that we need to notice is they had rejected God. And we see the same thing happening in our day and in our culture. Many are just living life with no regard whatsoever for the things of God. It abounds. It abounds. People are busy with the pleasures of life, busy with the responsibilities of life, busy eating, drinking, giving in marriage, busy buying and selling and, amen, too busy to be noticing that judgment is coming, amen, ever so close, one day at a time. Closer and closer. I'm going to read the 39th verse in three different versions this morning. The 39th verse. Jesus said, they knew not, in the King James, they knew not until the flood came and took them away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. The God's Word translation says, they were not aware. They were not aware that it was coming. The Young's literal translation, which is a very, very old translation, said they did not know. So put that together. They knew not. They were not aware. They did not know. Because they were too busy with other things. It's happening right now in our day and in our time. Judgment is coming upon this earth. Jesus, remember, amen, remember the disciples' question, what will be the sign of your coming? And Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Beloved, before we ever, amen, get out of this building this morning, the clouds could part and the Lord should come, amen, and take us all home, and those that are going to be left behind are going to be left behind unaware and not knowing and not realizing that judgment is about to fall upon this nation and upon the world. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. So, Pastor Gary, please, I sure could use a little good news today. What's the good news in all of this? Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. God made a way of escape for those that would believe. For those that would listen, for those that would observe, for those that would take heed and discern the coming judgment, God made a way for them to escape. And I'm here to tell you this morning, Jesus said, watch and pray ye therefore always that you be accounted worthy to escape all of the things that are coming upon the face of the earth and to stand before the Son of Man. There's coming a day, there's coming an hour when Jesus Christ, I don't know when, I don't know what day, I don't know what hour, but I see the signs of his coming. Amen. When Christ will split the clouds of glory and say enough is enough and call his church aboard that ark of safety and the salvation of Christ, and carry us home to glory. Amen. Jesus said in Luke chapter 21, verse number 28, he said, when you see all of these things begin to come to pass, when you see all of these things begin to come to pass, he doesn't say, you know, moan and cry and grieve about it. He just said, simply look up, but your redemption is drawing nigh. Amen. In other words, it's getting closer and closer by the minute. Paul the apostle said this in Titus chapter 2 and verse number 11. He said, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. Jesus Christ is the grace of God that brought salvation to mankind. He said, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. And when he came teaching us to deny ungodliness and deny worldly lusts and to live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. And then he says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse number 16 said, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ are going to rise first, and then we which are alive and remain are going to be caught up with them in the clouds, in the air, amen, and meet the Lord in the air. And so he said, shall we ever be with the Lord? And then he goes on to say, wherefore comfort one another with these words. I don't know about you, but it's a comfort to know that my Jesus has already made an ark for me.
Amen. All I got to do is hold tight to the hand of the Lord. And when he comes, he's coming after a church that's without spot and without a wrinkle. He's coming after a church that's watching and are ready and are looking for his return. Hallelujah. John chapter 14 verse 1. Jesus said, amen, let your heart not be troubled. He said, don't let your heart be troubled. He said, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, he said, I would have let you in on the secret. I would have told you. But he said, I am going away to prepare a place for you. And if I go away to prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. What is the good news in all of this is that he's coming and his grace abounds. And all we need to do this morning is make certain that our heart is ready. Amen. And watch the plan of God unfold. And when he splits the clouds of glory and calls us home, we'll be in that number. Hallelujah. History is going to repeat itself. History is going to repeat itself. There's a parable of 10 virgins. The Bible said 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. They all had lamps. They all had the same opportunity. They all trimmed their wicks. 5 of them kept oil in their lamp. 5 of them let the oil burn out. And when the cry, the Bible said, went forth at midnight, behold, the bridegroom comes. The 5 that let their lamp go out and had no oil said to those that had oil, give us oil. Not so. Not so. You go get your own oil. Hello? And the Bible said that when they went to get oil, the bridegroom came and they went into the supper and the door was shut. And when the 5 foolish came who had went to get the oil, came back and said, let us in. Too late. History is going to repeat itself. Just like those who scoffed and mocked Noah when he built that ark. Just like those who rejected every sign of the coming judgment. Just like those whose hearts were evil and wicked. The day will come when just like those who refuse to believe were excluded from the ark and they were not allowed in. That day will repeat itself. Christ will come for those who are ready and those that have been looking and those that have been watching and those that are prepared to go with him. And those that are not will be left behind. They will be left behind. And then the Bible teaches that there will be 7 years of tribulation upon this earth, such has never been, nor ever shall be again. Tribulation so great that Jesus said, if those days were not shortened, that the very elect would not be saved. His own Jewish people would not be spared. There's coming a day of tribulation upon this earth that you don't want to be here for. And the good news is you don't have to be here for it. The Bible said that God has not appointed us unto wrath, but to obtain salvation through Jesus Christ. We all have an appointment. We have an appointment with the end of this age. We have an appointment when the Lord comes. We have an appointment. The only question is our appointment going to be to endure the wrath of God through the tribulation, or is our appointment going to be to obtain salvation through Jesus Christ? I choose salvation through Jesus Christ. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. As it was, so shall it be. As it was, so shall it be. History is going to repeat itself. I want to be on the right side of history. I want to be on the right side of history. Father, in Jesus' name, open the eyes of our heart, Lord. Open the eyes of our heart. Open the eyes of our spirit. Open the eyes of our understanding. Let us recognize that as it was, so it is in our day. And just like that woman that hath conceived with child, we may not know the day, we may not know the hour, but we feel that it's getting ever closer and ever closer and ever closer for the coming of the Son of God. Lord, we want to be ready. We want to be ready. Touch our hearts this morning. Minister to our hearts this morning, I pray, Lord. Speak to our hearts. If there is anything that would keep us from that day or that hour, help us to be willing to turn loose of it, Lord. Help us to make things right, that when He comes, we may stand before Him clothed in His righteousness, clothed in His salvation, without fear and without trembling, but rather stand in His presence with a grateful heart and with a song of praise upon our lips. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. I prayed in the name of Jesus. Are you here this morning? And you would be willing to slip up your hand and say, Pastor Gary, if He came today, I'm not sure I'd be ready. There's some things in my heart I know that I need to turn loose of. Some things in my life. God sees your hand, yes. And your hand, 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 and yours, and yours. Anyone else? And you're really not raising your hand to Pastor Gary. You're telling the Lord. You're telling the Lord, I see it. I understand. I recognize it. I'm sorry. God sees every hand that's still going up, and your hand. It's coming, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. Oh my God, if you could feel when I say that, if you could feel what I feel in my heart, the days are numbered, and Jesus is coming. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Stand to your feet all over the building. Let me pray for all of these that lifted their hand. Father, these that have lifted their hands this morning, we have all at one time or another had You reveal something to us that we maybe didn't even realize what was in our heart. And when we saw it and we recognized it, Lord, we repented. We've all been there. There have been hands lifted all over this building this morning that said, Lord, I see something that makes me question. I see something that makes me wonder, and I want to get rid of it. I want to be ready when You come. I want to be ready when You come. It may not be today, may not be next month, may not be even within this year, but I believe that You're coming, and I believe that it's getting closer and closer. I can see it. I can feel it. I can discern the season and the time. And Father, I thank You for showing that to me. And I thank You, Father, that I have an opportunity to repent of it and to turn it over to You. I ask right now in Jesus' name, Lord, that You would just, as they call upon Your name and they have lifted their hand and signified and acknowledged that they see that it's there, that Father, You will wash that away, that You will cleanse them and You will give them the reassurance and the assurance that their heart is right in the sight of God. That if You should come even this afternoon, that they would be ready and they would be counted worthy. And oh, what peace there is in that. What joy, what satisfaction there is in knowing that our heart is secure in the hand of Jesus. Touch each one here, I pray, this morning. Ask it in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name.